I bring a fresh perspective. I bring a nonpartisan agenda. I bring an opportunity to unite the two parties because I represent issues that are also favorable to the Republicans. I think I'm probably the best candidate for the undeclareds, since many undeclareds are prior party activists that are disheartened with the directions their parties have gone. So I think I'm very viable in this campaign, especially in the general election.
You mentioned that you took positions on some issues that would be favorable to Republicans. Could you give an example or two?
Well, the biggest one is I'm the only anti-expanded gambling candidate, and that's favorable to a lot of the conservatives on the right, and they believe that Ovid and Kevin have jumped ship, both of them flipping on that position and having received gambling lobby money as well.
Now, why is expanded gambling off the table for you?
Partially because of my background, being law enforcement and a sociology criminal justice degree and a history of research, I know that there is some social ills associated with the enterprise. I know there's addiction. I know there's some crime. I know there's some corruption. And even though my colleagues tout regulations and controls, you can never get them embedded to the point where you can prevent all those aspects. So with that said, my concern is even 1% increase in crime in New Hampshire, for me, it's too much, especially it affects you, you know, a friend's family, my family, anybody's family. And there is a large percentage of voters in New Hampshire that don't want that enterprise, and I'm representing those voters.
One of the first things a governor does after taking office is proposing a two-year budget. Given the economic constraints that we face these days, what would you make a priority in your proposal for the budget?
Well, obviously, figuring out where revenue is coming from. Obviously, in a down economy, the taxes we charge, the fees we charge, many of them very regressive, by the way, and I think you know my position on that. It's not enough to meet the demands of New Hampshire. So I have touted, even though it's politically sensitive, I don't want to pay more taxes. And that nobody should assume that I'm a tax and run Democrat, because there's nothing further from the truth. What I am is a fair tax Democrat. And using that tax, which will reap a regular income, unlike business income, which fluctuates with the economy, will have additional revenue to at least sustain the important infrastructure. And I'm the only one that's jumped out on this issue. You know, everybody, especially the Republicans, tout cutting taxes and have a business plan. But all that's going to do, obviously, is lessen our revenue, because their business plans won't reap benefits for 2 to 4 or 8 years out. So we're going to have a major deficit. We need to deal with that deficit now. And you know what? I shoot from the hip. I tell people the truth. I'm a principled guy with integrity. There's a lot of watered-down rhetoric out there on both sides.
Could you describe the specifics for those who haven't heard them yet of that income tax proposal and why it would be better than the current system?
Well, under the income tax, it would be a flat rate across the board. So even though it sounds regressive in the fact that if I touted a 5% income tax, for example, until you went above $40,000, which is the American livable wage standard for a family, which is my base deduction, you wouldn't be taxed until you exceeded that amount. Once you exceed that amount, everybody would be taxed at the 5% flat rate. And the issue with the federal system is everybody pays a different rate. More often than not, it's the wealthy that pay a lower proportion to their income than the middle class and the poor. So with that said, with a 5% flat rate, the wealthy are going to pay 5%. The middle class will pay 5%, and then nobody under $40,000 would pay anything. So that's the plan with the income tax, but I'm also putting a caveat in there that there has to be a 33 to 50% reduction in property taxes, because I don't want to add to property tax owners' burdens.
And on higher education, we've been hearing talk in the university system about a proposal where state college tuition would be frozen for several years in exchange for restoring about $100 million in state funding. Would you support that idea?
You know what? We need to fund our state schools, and we need to make sure that our students pay a reasonable in-state tuition. We need to make sure that they don't leave school with the highest debt in the nation. And so any legislation that would make it affordable and fair, I would probably be an advocate for.
Last question for you. You've said you'd like to bring joy back to state employees. The first part of the question is, where has the joy gone and how do you bring it back?
You know, I think it's a lot of despair. Everybody's looking for people to blame. You know, the right to work issue has polarized both sides of the party. Everybody's trying to blame the unions, and that's unfortunate. So a lot of the union state workers, obviously leaving work, realize that their pensions has been affected, realize in many cases jobs security has been affected, and are concerned that they're going to lose their jobs, they're going to lose their pensions. So A lot of the state workers are disheartened in government, so they don't have confidence in government. And when they leave work, they don't leave work happy. And obviously, I want to make a happy environment, not just in the state house, but across the state. And to do that, we have to bring in jobs. We have to improve education. We have to make sure health care is covered. And we need to just make sure everybody's happy, that we cover families, that New Hampshire Advantage is maintained. And I know it sounds like basic rhetoric, but I've got a plan. No other candidate has a plan. And I've stepped out on it. I know it's politically sensitive, but I have a plan.
One of the suggestions you've made about bringing joy back to state employees, you said karaoke Fridays at the State House. Seeing as we're talking on a Friday, do you have a favorite karaoke selection?
Well, I'll tell you, one that I usually use to kind of break the ice at any karaoke function, and I used to be really shy. Obviously, I'm not shy now, having jumped into the gubernatorial race. But What a Wonderful World by Louis Armstrong. I love that song. You know, I think it would be one of my songs. And I think it's an important song, and I think it attests to what we need, what the world truly is, and then what we need to retain in New Hampshire.
Bill Kennedy, thanks so much for taking the time and talking with us.
It's my pleasure, and I look forward to many more.